Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
So good morning.
Good morning.
Feels like the first day of fall, but it's going to warm up again this week. It'll be 100 again. So anyway, let's continue our reflections on the tools for good works. Tool 66 and tool 67, I put them together. Harbor no jealousy of anyone. Do nothing out of envy. The Cardong translation puts it, do not be jealous and do not act out of envy. Zelum non habere, invidem non exercere. So let's take a little brief look at the Latin again. Zelum in Latin is jealous. We get the English word zeal. So immediately it's not necessarily a negative word, but it can be, obviously. Invidem means ill will, but it also can mean jealousy likewise and envy. So here you say, well, maybe the two are very closely related, and sometimes people do not distinguish between them. And you can see maybe why that's easy to do. We'll look at that a little more down the page here. Habere is to hold or to possess or to carry out something. And exercere, we get an English word to exercise. It has a number of connotations in various contexts. It means to cultivate the ground, or it can mean to engage the mind or to practice an occupation. So, like I say, we get the word exercise. So we exercise the mind, or he exercises his profession as a medical doctor or something like that. So I put together my own translation. Do not hold on to jealousy. Do not cultivate or engage with envy. Again, we get into the whole element of the logismoi, the thoughts, and we can obsess with our thoughts. We can hold on to, or we can engage with these things. So certainly in these two tools, we have clearly a connotation of a negativity. So it's not about zeal in the good sense, and we'll look at that likewise a little further on here. Well, we know from the scriptures that St. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, describes the works of the flesh. And he has in those works jealousy and occasions of envy. And these works of the flesh, of course, contrast with the works of the Spirit that we're probably more familiar with. In the letter of St. James, chapter 3, again, James makes a strong statement. If you have bitter jealousy, so here we have bitter jealousy versus good jealousy or zeal. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. Wisdom of this kind does not come down from above, but is earthly. Well, that's what St. Paul was saying. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every foul practice. So it creates chaos, not order. and it creates every foul practice, that which is not true to itself. Here we go to the rule, and St. Benedict uses this apart from these two tools here in various ways. In chapter 64, which we just read not too long ago in the reading of the rule, the election of an abbot, St. Benedict says, zeal for God, zelum in Latin, exercised by the bishop, the abbots, the Christians in the area to assure that a worthy man is elected abbot. So here we have a positive example of, in a sense, zelum, or jealousy, but we usually put it in English as zeal. But further on, it says, the abbot should not be envious in the same chapter. And I think St. Benedict is foreseeing chapter 65 when he says the abbot should not be envious. In chapter 65, that's the selection of a prior, or the prior of the monastery. And St. Benedict says, you know, if a prior is elected rather than appointed by the abbot, it can be an open invitation to envy. However, later on, at the end of that chapter, St. Benedict says the abbot must reflect that he will give an account to God of all his judgments, lest the flames of jealousy sear his soul. In other words, if the prior does begin to misbehave, it has to be, the abbot has to be very careful that he's acting out of good motivations in attempting to correct the prior, and not out of, in some ways, out of a jealousy of the prior, or a competition between the two. So those two cases clearly are negative examples of zeal, in contrast to zeal for God. And so it's no surprise that chapter 72, as you know, the good zeal of monks, we have this good zeal in contrast to bad zeal. And St. Benedict warns about, or makes us aware of that. That good zeal is that intense striving to motivate oneself to do more or to do better. And again, we get back to our chapter on the priests of the monastery, chapter 62, where the monk is to make more and more progress towards God. So that's good zeal. The opposite bad zeal is to make less and less progress towards God. Well, let's look at the definitions of jealousy and envy. Because when we analyze them, there are some subtle distinctions between the two. Jealousy, the fear of losing something important that I have a right to possess. In other words, I'm being overprotective of my goods and my rights. So in anthropomorphic terms in the Bible, we always have to be cautious when we read a lot in the Bible about God and God's actions, because they're put in human terms and in human experience. God, we can say then, is a jealous God, because he has a right to the devotion of his people. And, of course, in the Old Testament, but it doesn't stop there, the people are always constantly moving towards Baal or towards these other gods, the Philistines, etc., or the Egyptians. And so time and time again, God says, I am a jealous God, as he says in the Ten Commandments, because I have the right, as it were, to your devotion, to your commitment, because I have covenant with you. So we can talk about like a husband or wife being jealous of one another, because they have that right to one another's devotion, and they're afraid someone's going to take that right away. Envy is a little different. It is the desire to possess what another has. Or it's a sadness that someone has something that I desire, but I don't possess. You know, so I'm, and it can be either material, emotional, or whatever. In this sense, God can never be envious, because God is all in all, has everything. So we never see that in the Bible, that concept. The Carolingian Benedictine scholar and commentator Smaragus makes a very strong statement in his commentary on the rule. Jealousy carries all vices within it that disturb peace and neighborly love. Again, that's really a reflection, I think, primarily of St. James, at least in my mind. Because where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder. Every foul practice, which is the opposite of love, love of neighbor. And disorder, of course, disturbs the peace. He goes on to just say, when I harbor jealousy, I despise God. I am unfaithful to my truest self. I rupture relationships. I am proud and angry. So there you get the disorderedness, the violence. And I even, you know, damage and am violent in a negative way to who I truly am. Because as we know, as we'll see here, we're called to communion by nature of our existence. St. Cyprian of Carthage says that other sins aim for a goal, such as adultery or murder or theft, but jealousy has no goal, but turns into an eternal sin. That's very strong language, isn't it? Jealousy is a passion, he goes on to say, that causes unrest within me. Again, this disorderedness. I observe another's material or spiritual gifts, whether these are real or, you know, or imagined. And sometimes they're more imagined. In other words, what's happening is, instead of minding my own business, I neglect myself, so therefore I'm unfaithful to my truest self, and focus on the other person, or just on another, you know, situation in the life. What St. Bernard would call curiosity, and we know that as the first step of pride. Well, looking more closely at the rule of St. Benedict, We know that Saint Benedict, in contrast to the rule of the master, insists on both the horizontal and vertical relationships. Horizontal meaning right here, with all of you in front of me, and vertical, of course, that transcendent relationship with God. We need both. And of course, that's where we get the very beautiful symbol of the cross. You have to have horizontal and vertical to have a cross. And Saint Benedict has a high priority for relationships. And many of these tools that we've been reflecting upon reflect this aspect of good relationships. You know, just think of the number of times Saint Benedict speaks of patience, to exercise patience in these tools. Also, as we know, the rule of Saint Benedict is a cenobitic rule, so it's emphasis on community, and therefore, if it's emphasis on community, there's an emphasis on common ownership. But common ownership is not an end in itself, because it's to move us towards this unity of heart and mind, which, of course, is the fullness of heaven. I mean, heaven will have common ownership, but it's because of this incredible unity of spirit, not just with God or the mystery of the transcendent, but the unity going outwards horizontally as well. Well, this contrasts, obviously, with a narcissistic viewpoint of me first, me first, me first, me first, etc. Because that, of course, breaks every connection to all the brothers or to my neighbor, whoever the neighbor might be. Because suddenly, my neighbor is not my brother, he's my rival. He's my adversary. Again, we get into the sense of disorderedness. If it's me first, I have to have my advantage at everyone else's expense. You know, at least in our culture, we speak of those ages of development and growth. I just thought of it, you know, age two, the terrible twos, where the little kid is discovering his unique existence from his mother, primarily, or her mother, and suddenly asserts himself or herself, recognizing themselves as independent. So I seek my advantage at others' expense. But this, and this is basically envy, it alienates me from the neighbor, from God, but also myself, as I say, because I'm made for communion, I'm made for love. I'm made for this horizontal dimension as much as the vertical dimension. So Saint Benedict knows what jealousy and envy can do and actually do to a community, and that they do exist. You know, the life of Saint Benedict by Saint Gregory proves what that envy can do to someone. You know, the monks in that monastery trying to kill him, etc. So this is why he's very insistent on these two tools in the larger context of the other tools, not to act with jealousy or envy. And finally, just to conclude, St. Aelred in his Sermon 55 says this to the brothers of Rivaulx: "Nothing so provides a feast for the devil as envy. Nothing so delights or refreshes the devil Believe me, my brothers, there is nothing that so diminishes the joys of this present life or removes the hope of future happiness or simultaneously undermines all the other virtues as envy. And then I came across in my research from Michael Casey's book, he quotes a Joseph Epstein in a book just entitled Envy. Envy is above all a great waste of mental energy. Unleashed envy tends to diminish all in whom it takes possession. Envy coarsens and cheapens judgment. In other words, you can't discern. The only way to fight against envy is self-honesty, self-analysis, and balanced judgment. In other words, humility. Harbor no jealousy of anyone. Do nothing out of envy.